Well, praise the Lord. I got a lot to cover, so let's just get right into it here. Let's open up with, first of all, with prayer. I never want to start a service without prayer. Heavenly Father, You are a great and awesome God, and we just love You. We thank You, God, for the privilege to be in Your house. We thank You, God, for the series and the things that You are showing us. I just love You, Lord, and I appreciate You more as I go through this. And Father, I know that You care for us. You love us, and we're going to see even more of that this morning. Open our eyes and speak to us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jeff. Well, last week, I don't know about you, but I thought it was a fascinating journey last week. I'm just going to do a very quick review. Remember, once you start getting out into space, you begin to use, I don't know if I even can be correct in saying God's measuring stick, the light year. The light year. 186,000 miles per second that can go on for a year. That's over 2.8, I think I said, trillion miles. I can't even conceive of such a number. And if you take one of those light years, which is trillions of miles, and multiply that by 8,000, I mean, I can't conceive. Farthest out into the galaxy, we have beauty such as man can only wonder. But now we can see. We have technology that we can see. And this is that hourglass nebula that sometimes is referred to as the eye of God. And you can see it looks just like an eye looking back at you. Farthest, so far out in space. And then we talked briefly about this whirlpool galaxy, which I believe is called M51. They need to get a little more creative in thinking up their names. But the most fascinating part about that whirlpool galaxy that I want to show you just one more time is over to the left, that center part, the bright spot in the center of the spiral. Scientists are so baffled. They do not understand how this is even possible, that that can be in the center of that spiral galaxy. Because they say it has to be something on the order of a black hole which pulls dust and particles and other things into it, and therefore it forms what looks to be the shape of a cross. They refer to it as the X factor. That's okay. It looks like a cross to me. It's a reminder out in the farthest reaches of space, a reminder that we can just now begin to see with the equipment that we have. And so the objective last week was to get you to think how big God is. He's bigger than we can imagine. Amen. He's bigger than we can imagine. The second part of that objective was to get you to realize how small we are. Now, that's not to make you feel bad, because today's lesson, I hope, is to make you feel wonderful. But that was the objective last week. How big God is, how small we are. It makes you wonder, well, if God is that big and we can't even look out far enough to see God or heaven, we can't see it, can't find it. If He's that big, why in the world would He want anything to do with us? Why? And that's the question I want to talk about this morning. David pretty much asked the same question. In Psalms 8 and 3, he says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained," in other words, he put them where he wanted, "which thou hast ordained," he said, "what is man that thou art mindful of him?" And that's a beautiful question. Even David wonders, with his limited vision, we have such a great field of vision given our technology, but with his limited vision, why? What is man that you even notice him? That's what it means to be mindful. To notice. Man.
And I think sometimes it's because he wants us for his bride.
Yes. That's exactly right. But David at the time didn't necessarily see that. Didn't know anything about that. So he's asking this question that I believe much of the world is asking and is looking for answers in the totally wrong places. But they're asking the question. There's something inside that makes you ask, what are we here for? And so the lesson for this morning, our series is called Creativity. This is part two of a three-part message. And the title is Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And it comes out of Psalm 139. The key verse is verse 14. But I'm going to begin with this verse. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Please bear with me on this because I think it makes it easier to understand. Gives a good flow. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Keep that word in mind, knitted. It's very important. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And this is another psalm of David. It's interesting how David is making all these observations. So he knows this. So let's begin our journey. I got a lot of material to cover. Our journey takes us all the way back to the days of creation. Very beginning. From the first 6 days of creation. In Genesis 2 and 7, it goes back and recounts how he formed man. And I highlighted some pieces on the screen. It says in chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man. Let's stop there for just a second. If you had clay in your hands, and in one place, in one of the prophets, it mentions that we are clay in the potter's hands. Think of it that way. God took his hands and he formed you. He formed Adam, first man. By the way, that's what Adam means, man. He formed man. In other words, everything else, he spoke. And that in itself just boggles my mind. He spoke light into existence. He spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. He spoke all the creation, the fish and everything else like that into existence. But when it came to man, God took a personal interest. And with his hands, he formed Adam. But that wasn't enough, was it? Out of the dust of the ground. And what else did God do? And breathed into his nostrils. Don't you love it? Everything else he spoke into existence, but when it came time for man, he took a special interest in him and he made him with his own hands. And then, and this is about as intimate as you can get, he breathed into his nostrils. Jesus had a similar thing that he did when he was finally getting ready to leave and he was leaving it all to the disciples to start to go out to make disciples. What did he do? Before he left,
he breathed on them. It was the Holy Ghost, the foretaste of the Holy Ghost.
He breathed on them. Exactly right. You are exactly right. He breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is the same as this. In other words, he breathed life. The Holy Ghost, like rivers of living water, life into his disciples.
And he did, took the scriptures and put them in each and every one's. Like Paul and John, he breathed on them, and that he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, and then they came to scriptures and made life in us.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It quickened our bodies. It quickened our body. And that's what's going on here. So from the very beginning, and then until the time Christ did that to his disciples, we have this breathing. And I believe Christ was God. I believe Jesus was God the Son. So God not only breathed life into the first man, but he breathed life into the new man. And so that's what's going on. The Holy Spirit. And man became a living soul. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do today, I know it's hard to sit and listen to a bunch of facts, so I'm going to try to not give you too many. But I want to talk about now, instead of going out into space, I want to look inward. I want to look inward. We want to see just how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. Now, I'm going to begin with the lungs. Now, you may not be familiar with this particular kind of picture because the outer layer is missing. It's just showing the bronchial tubes of the human lung. Look how many spokes are going out there. So you see the outer layer missing, but you see the human lungs and how many spokes there are. The left lung, which I didn't know this, is smaller than the right so that it can make room for the heart. The question came up, how much air can a human body breathe per day? Per day. In one day. This, I brought along with me as an illustration, is a 2-liter bottle. Every breath you take, on average, not everybody's the same, every breath you take is about that much, a half a liter. So every 2 breaths is a liter. So in one day, now look at how much air is in this bottle. In one day, you will breathe 5,400 of these in one day. And guess what? You don't have to count. You don't have to think about it. It's all automatic. It's built in by the Creator. Just this one fact alone is enough to make me think there's some intelligent designer behind it all.
You know what? It was carpenter.
Yeah.
Carpenter. On the inside.
On the inside. Exactly right. But just that one little fact. 5,000 of these per day. 5,000. That's a lot of breathing that you don't even notice, that you don't even think about. None of that stuff you think about. Exactly. You cannot live without it. And so you have that. Actually, I skipped over this part here. No two individuals have the same fingerprints. That's one basic fact. Law enforcement uses that all the time. The average human body, don't jump folks, but has enough fat to produce 7 bars of soap. I'd hate to think what happens if they sent me to the glue factory. But the average human body has enough fat in them to produce 7 bars of soap. So go home, line up 7 bars of soap. That is enough from me. The average human body can produce 50,000 cells in the body, and it will die and then be replaced with brand new cells in the time it took for me to say that. Isn't that amazing? In just that little bit of time, just a few seconds, it's already 50,000 cells have died and 50,000 new ones have come along to replace them.
No wonder it's fearful and awesome.
I mean, all this stuff to me is, and when I started looking up this stuff, I'm thinking, this is incredible. This is incredible that the God created it. And you don't have to think about it. It happens. It happens.
Well, you'll soon know exactly what's all in your body.
Well, and sometimes I may not want to know, because if you start to think about it, it's like, oh gosh, how do I keep track of all this? Well, you can't. You can't. And then we get down to the nervous system. I jumped ahead. But we get down to the nervous system. There are 45 miles of nerves in the skin of the human body. 45 miles. One human brain generates more electrical impulses per day, in one day, than all of the world's telephones put together. Now, how amazing is that? the little electrical signals going on your brain, I don't care if you think you got a tiny brain or a big brain, is, produces in one day more signals than all the world's telephones in one day. I just love it. Now this one, when I came across, I had to stop and think. The scientists say that we only use 10% of our brain. Yeah, that may be a different scientist. He may be using a 30 of his. Yeah, but some scientists say we only use 10%. So I used my 10% and started thinking about that. And I wondered now, I said, now, the guy who thought this up is in effect saying he only uses 10% of his brain. Think about that. If he's only using 10% and he's telling us that I don't want him to be doing my taxes, let's put it that way. Because I don't know if he's, he may be wasting more than he realizes if he thought it up. But then we have the lungs, and I've already mentioned that 5,400 2-liter bottles worth of volume of air will pass through your lungs per day.
Does that mean you breathe about 10,000 times?
Close to 40,000. Well, everybody breathes on average about 15 times a minute. And every time you breathe, one breath, you use 1/4 of that bottle. Oh, no. In 2 breaths, you've used a half, which is a liter. So, yeah, half a liter every time you take a breath. 15 times a day, and then, of course, you can do the math. Now, if you were to unfold, even though it doesn't show the lining of the lungs, if you were to unfold them and spread it out in one big sheet, it would cover a tennis court, just your lungs. So you know how big a tennis court is. Not quite as big as this room, I don't guess. Maybe half the size of this room, but just your lungs could cover that like a sheet of carpet. Let's talk about the heart. The Bible speaks so much about the heart. There are 60,000, this was incredible, miles of blood vessels in the human body. 60,000 miles. That's why you can get the tiniest little paper cut and bleed, and it hurts like crazy. Why is it the smallest little paper cut seems to hurt worse than a bigger cut or gash? I don't know. Paper cut can be awful. A single human blood cell, just one, can take only a minute to go through your whole body. 1 minute. And sometimes less. But on average, one little blood cell can go through your whole body in a minute. The average human heart will pump 48 million gallons in the lifetime. So in your average lifetime, that little round muscle, that's just a model. That's not a real heart, just so in case anybody gets squeamish. That's just a computer drawing. Yeah, a little bigger than your fist maybe, or as big as your fist. Pumps 48 million gallons. I mean, amazing. Million gallons in a lifetime. Of course, getting to the gender here, women's hearts usually beat faster than men's. And by the way, your heart on average will beat 100,000. I think that's what they meant to say. They left off a zero. 100,000 times every day. By the time you turn 70, your heart will have beat over 2.5 billion beats. Now, I can't count that far. But the whole point is you don't have to think about it. God created you. God wired you such that all of this takes care of itself automatically. And I think this is wonderful. Now let's move along. And I'm not going to go through every system, so don't get excited. I'm just going to go through a few things here. The human face. I picked this one because it shows some muscles in the face. Most people probably know this. It takes 17 muscles to smile. It takes 43 to make a frown. So you're working harder if you're frowning. Well, now, hey, Andy may have a justification for frowning here. Exercise. Well, I have a justification for not frowning because I didn't put it in here, but I read it. It said, for every 2,000 frowns causes a wrinkle. For every 2,000 frowns, on average, can cause a wrinkle. So smiling is easier than frowning. So why do people frown so much? I debated on putting this in here. The average woman can say 7,000 words per day. Men, approximately 2,000 words per day. Can I get an amen from the amen corner? No, Wally, we got to speak the truth. We got to speak the truth here. Probably 30 minutes. I really did debate putting that in there. But this, no. It's probably why their heart beats faster. It's got to keep up. That's the way. Hey, yeah, this is, she said it just now. She said, well, that's the way the Lord made it. I mean, that's just it. Yeah, that's creation in action. Uh-oh. What is it, Wally? Go on. Let's get off that subject.
Marky just said something, and at least with the two of us, it's really, really true. He said men can say what they need to say and say it. I would lead up for 20 minutes before I say what I was going to say.
And for 20 more minutes, explain why she said
it. Right, and that's just a... Yeah, yeah.
We can say it in fewer words.
Oh, no, Eddie will come in and he's going to say, why is the church split? And why is the church split just among men and women? Sunday school, Eddie, Sunday school. But no, I mean, it's just a funny fact when I saw that. Now, this might catch your attention. That's right. You give more honor. Let's talk about one more thing about the face. The sneeze. If you think about your body and ask yourself, what's the fastest thing your body can do? The fastest thing it can do. The cough is pretty close. When you cough, you exhale air at about 60 miles per hour. Didn't know that. Yeah, spreads it out. But when you sneeze, and I didn't know this, and I just think it's wonderful, the fact that if you sneeze, it approaches, if not exceeds, 100 miles per hour. Do you realize that for that instant, you are a Category 2 hurricane? I looked it up. Category 2 hurricane is from 96 miles per hour to 110. So when you sneeze, whoo, watch out.
Well, it really hurts you when you sneeze.
Especially if you're not expecting it. I've hurt my back sneezing. But I'm serious. You are into a Category 2. Now, what that means is sustained wind. So if you could sustain a sneeze for however long the scale says... But that's what I'm saying, 100 miles per hour. Oh, yeah, some people get into a sneeze cycle. That's when you got to get, you know, start to button up your windows and things like that. But no, seriously, I mean, how amazing is that, that the human body can produce such force and sneeze approaching 100 miles per hour. Now, we started out on this little journey of David asking the question, what is man? I mean, I just gave you a whole bunch of little tidbit facts here that might be interesting at the dinner table, but what can we do with it in a Sunday school? Well, all of these things, in telling you this, was to tell you that, essentially, that you do all these things automatically. There's nothing you have to think about. I don't know anybody in here who can think about sneezing and sneeze, or who can think about whatever and breathe. Now, you might can hold your breath, but guess what? I don't know. I guess Aaron's probably the only one with a child who can throw a tantrum if he wanted to and hold his breath. But not to worry, if he passes out, guess what'll happen? Take right over. So the child used to scare parents because their face would turn purple as a whatever plum, and they'd make them all worry and go a Twitter. Well, if and some children can do it until they pass out, but if they pass out, they'll come back. It's just automatic. That's right. And probably only takes once to do that, and they won't do that again. But that's my point. I mean, it's automatic. God has built this in. God has wired you in such a way, and I've talked about several systems, not all of them that I could have talked about. Time doesn't permit. But David wondered, what is man that he would even make us this way? If you by now don't understand or don't realize how complex the human body is, I don't know that you will, because the human body is just so amazing. It can heal itself in many ways. The only thing, well, I think there's two things that the body cannot heal itself, correct me if I'm wrong, is the tooth. Maybe when you're younger, if a tooth gets knocked out, it gets replaced. But after you get a certain age, you don't generate another tooth after it's gone. And brain cells. I think if you destroy brain cells, I don't think they regenerate, do they?
They do, but it takes a long time. It's a long process. You smoke dope for a long time and they kill some brain cells out, it takes several years to bring brain cells back.
Okay. Because, see, I was always under the impression that other cells would take over, kind of reconnect in different ways. But if it can recreate, that's one of the few things. I mean, but everything else in the human body tends to replicate itself. All the cells... You don't even want to know how much. I actually was started to think about all the bacteria a person carries, and I thought, well, I better not tell people, because you might go out here feeling sick if I told you all the bacteria you carry around, and then how your body compensates for that.
Don't take much things to make bacteria.
No. Oh, gosh. You encounter it so much. So much. And so the next thing I want to talk about is a thing, I don't know how long it's been discovered. Most of you may already have heard about it. But there is a substance in the human body that holds all of this together. And some of you may know where I'm going with this, but there's something that holds all of this together. The technical term is called an adhesion molecule. Now, adhesion, what's that mean? It sticks. It sticks things together. You ever got duct tape on your hands and go to pick up something or it get twisted? Oh, it's a mess. I've thrown away, I think, more duct tape than I've actually used because, you know, it sticks. Yeah, and once it grabs a hold of something, it don't want to let go. I mean, it's like it just sticks. But in the body, in the human body, there is this adhesion molecule that links up with other molecules. Who in here has done quilting or knitting? Okay, several. You know what it means to link up the threads, right? You know what that means. In a sense, you're linking all of it together until you form sheets of whatever it is you're making, whether it be a scarf, a blanket, or whatever it is, that thread links and joins together in such a way that it makes sheets of things.
And you know what? You can turn loose of that one thing, you got it all unraveled if you ain't careful.
That's right. It can all unravel. Exactly right.
When you was talking about the scripture about the knitted, the only thing about the knitted is if you miss a stitch, you got a hole.
Yes.
I mean, you've got a defect if you don't do it like it's supposed to be done.
Well, and by the same token, people, you can cause defects, birth defects in people if you abuse your body while you have a child. I mean, there's warnings out there about smoking, you know, if you're having a child, or drinking or doing drugs or anything, you can cause defects, birth defects in your child. And sometimes it happens when none of those things are present. But you're right, causes a hole or some kind of a flaw, a defect. But there's this molecule, by and large, for every human being that is the underlying structure that holds everything together. And it's called an adhesion molecule. And I want to give you the technical, the scientific description of what this is. The name of it is called laminin. Okay, laminin is a protein found in the extracellular matrix, the sheets of protein that form the substrate, that's the underneath part, the substrate of all internal organs. So this thing called laminin is the underlying sheet, if you want to think of it, for all your internal organs, also called the basement membrane. Now the peculiar thing about laminin is the description of what it is. Don't focus so much on what it is. It's that thing that, you know, forms an underlying, calls it a substrate, but that underneath part of all your organs. The description down below, it has four arms that can bind to four other molecules. In other words, the arms of this molecule reaches out, just like in your knitting, grabs hold of the next molecule. The other arm reaches out, grabs hold of that arm of the molecule, and the next one, and the next one, and so on, and so on. That reaching out, that grabbing, is that knitting. Remember when I read that? It said I was knit within the womb. All these molecules are just reaching out and grabbing hold of one another. The description continues. It says the three shorter arms are particularly good at bonding to other laminin molecules. In other words, one molecule has four arms, three of which can reach out and grab other laminin molecules very easily. And like I said, it's kind of like when we get up here and join hands in prayer. We can join hands very easily. But we couldn't join feet very easily, right? So the arms are particularly good at grabbing hold of other laminin molecules, which is what makes it so great at forming sheets. Now this is that, as you knit things together, it begins to form this widespread sheet or membrane. Think of it as a covering over your organs or and underneath. But what about that long arm? So it's got three short arms, got one long arm. What about the long arm? In laminin, the long arm is capable of binding to cells, which helps anchor the actual organs to the membrane. In other words, my heart has a lining around it. But what's that lining going to hold on to? The sheet itself is wrapped around the muscular tissue. But yet it's got to hold on to something. So that's where that fourth arm comes in. And it reaches out and grabs other cells and holds on like an anchor. So not only can it bind together with other laminin molecules, it also has another arm or leg that reaches and grabs on to other cells. So every organ in your body has this sheet built in. I just think this is so amazing. And then the last sentence. Laminin is vital to making sure overall body structures hold together. In other words, something is holding our bodies together. Just to keep you from falling. I mean, yeah, some days my arms feel like they're going to fall off, but they won't.
But Earl, this is what goes on when you have surgery. When you have surgery and it all starts forming, it rejuvenates and holds on to a part, and that lets that part heal. Then it goes to the next one and the next one. And this is what holds all of this together so that you have clean incision.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, God has pre-built all of this. What she just said was when you have surgery and you have an incision, that this is what actually goes into the healing process, and it starts bonding back together and healing itself. This is what God has put in you. It holds you together. Now, I asked who knitted or who did any quilting. Who in here has done construction with concrete and rebar? Okay, we got several of those. Rebar, I got a picture up here. They put it in concrete in a crisscross fashion so that, what's the purpose?
They hold it together.
Hold it together. You don't want your driveway breaking apart. You don't want your walkway breaking apart. You want it to hold together. I don't know how much rebar is in this building, but I imagine there's quite a bit. In the walls, vertical rebar, and also the foundation. It holds it together, makes it much stronger. Well, laminin is that rebar in the body. It's what's holding you together. Everything, every organ, every piece of structure in your body is being held together by something, and it's this laminin molecule. The thing that amazes me, that's the diagram. Now you might be thinking, maybe some would probably say, yeah, that's like looking for the face of Jesus Christ in a jar of peanut butter. No. That, you know, your eyes can play tricks or your eyes can see anything. This is an actual scientific diagram of what laminin looks like on paper. This is what it looks like on paper. Excuse me if I think it looks like a cross, but it sure resembles one to me. Now, I'm not out looking into the human body for a cross everywhere I see one. But don't you think it interesting that we can look out far out into space at the M51 galaxy, 31 million light years away, and see a reminder? They can call it X factor all they want. It's a reminder to me that long before you knew what you were going to do with God, God knew what He was going to do with you. And there is a reminder of the cross. And now we take the other direction and we look deep inside the human body and we come across this adhesion molecule that is vital. The scientific description said it's vital to hold all the human body, the structure together, and it looks like a cross. Amazing. Everywhere you look, there are reminders of the cross. Whether you want to call that an X something or not, looks like a cross to me. Those top three arms are the ones I was talking about that bind to other laminin molecules. So this one molecule can bind to other molecules, and then the long arm, that chain at the bottom, can bind to cells. That's what's amazing to me, that it's this thing that is the underlying structure of all of our human bodies. Now, this is what it looks like on paper. To me, that's not the coolest part. The coolest part is what it really looks like in real life. That's it. The light at the center. When I saw that, yes, it looks like a cross, but look at the light in the center.
The center is in the shape of the heart.
Isn't it? I mean, I look at that and I think about, I don't know, my mind wanders and goes back to Christ on the cross. He was the light of the world. The light of the world. He bled and died for us. And yet, contained within our bodies are in every part of your body. You've got this that looks like a cross that, I don't know if it was from just the picture itself or whatever made it tend to glow more in the center. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to look at this just for a second. I want to close with this. Just look at this picture as I read the scripture. This is also in Psalm 139. But now I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. David says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Verse 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." So no matter where you go, whether you go out into space, as far as the eye can see, or as you go into the human body, as far as the eye can see, there are always going to be visual reminders of the cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for all of these reminders. Father, they teach us that you have so much power, so much glory, and you deserve to be honored. Father, we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we also know that the heavens even declare the glory of God and they speak to your wondrous power. I hope, Lord, that through these two messages that you have given us a better understanding as to why you are mindful of us. For you took special care in building us, not just with your hands, but deep inside. You have placed reminders that now we can see and that we can wonder about. Thank you, Father, for these things. I pray for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.